Many people in our food community have been seriously impacted by Superstorm Sandy, and our hearts go out to them. At HRN, we've been covering these stories since the storm hit. To learn more, visit our website at www.heritageradionetwork.org. Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit surreyfarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, this is Diane Stemple. I'm subbing for Ann Saxelby, and you're listening to Cutting the Curd, live on the heritageradionetwork.org. You can, if you're not listening live, you can get it archived on the heritageradionetwork.org or a podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Today, our topic is the Cheesemonger Certification Program developed by the American Cheese Society, and my guests are two newly minted CCPs, which stands for Certified Cheese Professional. Welcome to both Amy Thompson and Elena Santigade.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks, Diane.
You're very welcome. Let me tell the audience a little bit about you both before we start talking, asking questions. Amy Thompson has been in cheese for about 8 years, going on nine. Her first cheese job was at Murray's. That's where I met her. And she also worked for Consider Bardwell Farm, and she's currently the manager and head cheesemonger of Lucy's Way, which is a wonderful all-American cheese shop in Chelsea Market. She studied religious studies at Indiana University, and she's from Indiana. Elena is currently the lead cheesemonger and buyer at Beecher's Handmade Cheese, which coincidentally is also all-American cheese. And she has been in cheese maybe 3 years, but she dove right in. She started making cheese in her tiny Brooklyn apartment, and she did both her old career and her new career for a while, and now she's full-time cheese. So I want to congratulate you both on passing the test. It was the first time the test was given by American Cheese Society, and I have a bunch of questions to ask you about your experiences.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Okie doke. Now, let's see. This question I want both of you to answer. Amy, can you go first? How did you decide to take the test?
How did I decide? Well, I got an email discussing the exam and the test, and I thought, well, I should ask my boss if she says yes, and I should do it. Sounds great. I want to be part of the cheese community for the rest of my career. I'm in the cheese world. I'm mm-hmm. here to stay. So to become a certified cheese professional sounded like the right thing to do, given the opportunity.
Okay. How about you, Elena?
For me, I had just recently started at Beecher's in February of this year, and I was so eager and excited about working full-time in cheese after a few years of doing it alongside some other things. So I just was eager to connect with more people in the cheese professional community and then also to learn more, which I figured would happen, you know, while studying for the exam.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any trouble meeting the criteria for the test?
I kind of just made it in terms of how I had worked with cheese and in cheese for mm-hmm. the previous 2.5 years or so.
Okay.
So I felt lucky about that. And then also I had a lot of support from my boss and mm-hmm. the owner of Beecher's. So they sort of helped me get on board in terms of financially taking
okay.
the test.
Okay, so both of your bosses loved the idea.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Were you eager? Were you intimidated? A little bit of both?
I think
yes, both.
Were you worried the test was going to be too hard?
I was.
Mm-hmm. Too easy?
I wasn't worried it was going to be too easy. I was worried that not that it would be too hard, but that I hadn't prepared the right topics.
Okay. How much time from deciding to take the test was there before the test?
8 months.
Oh, so a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you were in the same study group?
Yes.
Okay. So you pretty much decided to study the same things. How did the study group work? Tell me, Amy.
Well, we and some other cheesy friends of ours looked at the study guide, what had been put together, the body of knowledge, and we decided the best way to do it would be divide by topics and assign each of us topics, and then we would present to our colleagues. So it worked really well because every topic that we then studied was through a different voice, through a different study.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you pick topics you knew, or did you pick topics that you were out of your area of familiarity?
I think we tried to pick topics that were outside of our area of familiarity. I mean, it was an exciting way to study in terms of being able to sort of hear the different perspectives mm-hmm. of the people in our group and sort of how each person attacked each section of the body of knowledge. And then we all chimed in, which was really neat. You know, one person would present, but the group would, you know, just really add their own ideas and thoughts and information based mm-hmm. on experience, because we all came from very different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Our study group also included eating a lot of cheese with each other.
And drinking wine or beer?
Yeah, both.
Yep, both.
I want to tell the audience, because they won't know, the list of topics. I saw it online on the ACS site. When they're talking about body of knowledge, this is what I guess the ACS committee deemed that cheese professionals needed to know. So this is the list: cheese making, ripening, cheese categories, cheese assessment, cheese storage and handling, distribution and transportation, marketing, cheese service, which is when you serve cheese in a restaurant, nutrition, and regulations. That's a lot of different areas.
Yes. By the end, our study guide, I think, had ballooned out into a 75-page monstrosity mm-hmm. of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Elena, what topics did you feel were your strengths and weaknesses going in?
Well, I definitely knew more about the cheese-making process, mm-hmm. And so sort of everything contained within that, the science behind what happens to, you know, bring milk to cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt really confident in that, although there was still a lot for me to learn, and it was really fun to dive deep into that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I felt less confident with the regulations, and there was a lot about importing that, at least Amy and I, you know, we don't import cheeses in our current positions. So that was more challenging for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Amy?
Challenging the nutrition and the cheese making, surprisingly. The nutrition, both were very detailed and
scientific. Oh, I've always been bad at those.
So I, you know, the cheese service, presentation, retail best practices,
those were more,
you know, I've had experience doing all of those things, so that wasn't so tricky.
Mm-hmm. And was the group fairly well-rounded so that everyone had a different piece?
Yeah. Should we shout out to our colleagues?
Yes, go ahead.
So Paul from Consider Bardwell Farm does all the green markets for Consider Bardwell and is the sales rep as well. So he kind of had a cheese background that we didn't have because mm-hmm. he's with cheesemakers all the time. And then Dimitri from Casalula Wine and Cheese has the restaurant background.
Mm-hmm.
Grace, my former coworker from Lucy's Way, was just in for the knowledge. She wasn't actually taking the exam, so I kind of had an assistant study buddy.
Oh, great.
And then Carlos Yescas joined us, and he's just an all-around cheese expert. Mm-hmm.
Cheese guru.
Did you all pass?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good, good.
There were only four of us taking the exam, okay. Amy, myself, Paul, and Dimitri, and we all...
Oh, so the other two were just in it for the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Might they take it in the future?
Well, Carlos helped to develop the exam.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure what his plans are.
Yeah, I don't think he'll take it, but maybe his colleague and sister, Georgina, mm-hmm. will take it.
Yeah.
Okay, how and what did you study? Did you have certain books? Did you go online?
For my sections, I definitely, the book that I referred to the most was Paul Kinstedt's book, I'm blanking on the entire title, American Farmstead Cheese.
I can picture it.
Right.
Advisory.
Advisory.
It's got Mateo,
yeah,
in a hairnet.
Exactly.
On the cover.
Exactly. Mateo's on the cover with some little cheese molds. So that was the one that I referred to back time and time again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we did a lot of Googling, and mostly I think for me at least, it was about asking other professionals when I had questions. And, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I have a whole library at home. By the end of the studying, my bookshelves were filled with cheese books, which was really fun, mm-hmm, and nice to acquire those resources. But I think people were the most helpful for me.
Okay. How about you? Did you use anything extra?
Extra? No. I mean, a lot of the, you know, like import regulations and cheese handling and nutrition, that a lot of that was pretty easy to find on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was the actual test experience like?
Well, it was intense just because it was so long, uh-huh, and there were so many people.
Yeah. Right. It was 150 questions, correct?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah, and 3 hours.
But it wasn't necessarily the length of the exam that made it long. It was the designated time that we had to be in the room that was long.
Right. Okay. We all had to remain in the room for the length of 3 hours.
But they didn't let you leave early.
Right. And so that, I think for me, required a shocking amount of willpower to just stop taking the time. Yeah. You know,
after
stop
you finished,
reviewing,
you had to do a little meditation time.
Just close the computer.
To not keep looking over the answers.
Right. 'Cause you,
right, and not to make your friend across the room laugh. And
uh-huh.
Know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a trial in patience, I think. But.
And you were at the ACS meeting?
Yeah,
it was the day before.
Yeah.
Did you both stay for the meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. So you got the good part afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what was funny is that they had set up a congratulations reception for finishing taking the exam outside of our exam room, and we could hear them all celebrating before we were excused.
Oh, that was probably the committee that was delighted that the test had happened.
Right. The test had happened. Everyone was celebrating, but we were still captive.
It was a big committee, and it met for many years.
Mm-hmm.
It was. I think that was something I didn't expect, which was really a pleasant surprise, was sharing in the excitement of that committee. I hadn't really realized how much time and effort had gone into the test. I knew it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. I felt that, and that's part of why I was really excited to be a part of it in its first year. But seeing the people who had worked on it, you know, Sue Sturman especially, her level of excitement and relief and enthusiasm was unbelievable. And that was fun to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. I listened to the webinar this afternoon that you could have listened to before the test.
Oh.
That told you all the information about, you know, the computers and the number of questions and the type of questions. And it made me nervous.
Right.
Just thinking about taking the test.
I think the biggest thing was that it was a big unknown.
Yeah.
And if anything, perhaps we overstudied, mm-hmm, in terms of the depth of what we studied. And my advice to anybody who's taking it this year would be to really relate it back to the reality of working as a cheese professional, to relate every single thing in that body of knowledge to how does it relate to my daily work?
Because mm-hmm,
that keeps it focused in a way that I think would have been helpful for us to know.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I feel like we learned so much, and regardless of whether or not it was what we learned in our studying, was if it was on the test or not, it was really valuable.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you worried or confident after the test? Because you had to wait a long time to find out if you passed.
That was the worst.
Yeah.
How about you, Amy?
I mean, worried because it's the first exam of its kind, they did say there'd be like a curve. Mm-hmm. Or they, not that there'd be a curve, I'm not sure, but that there might be certain questions that are thrown out if everyone misses them. Or
right.
If, you know. So it was, you didn't know how many you had to get right to be able to pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could almost count the ones that I knew for sure that I missed. And I was like, ooh, that might be on
was
the line.
Was there discussion afterwards?
There was discussion afterwards among, our study group.
Mm-hmm. How about you? Were you confident?
No, and my boyfriend can attest to the fact that
and
for
you had
about
to wait
month,
till October.
I think we found out about a month later, right? Was it 1 month?
Yeah, Exactly.
Yeah. I think it was just not knowing what the criteria was to pass, and kind of going over in your mind the exam. But mm-hmm. I felt good about it overall, I think.
Okay, we have to take a break. This is Diane Stemple at Cutting the Curd. We'll be back soon.
You're listening to Cut Quittin' Time, sorry, on Cutting the Curd by Pamela Royal on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
Hello, this is Diane Stemple. You're listening to Cutting the Curd. My guests are Amy Thompson and Elena Santigade, and we're talking about the American Cheese Society's Cheese Professional Test. I just have a few more questions before we segue into Thanksgiving cheese ideas. Are you enjoying having a CCP? I noticed you, Elena, have it on your email with the little trademark TM sign, which mm-hmm. is very cool. So are you enjoying it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's a really fun conversation piece with customers, mm-hmm. Especially it seems like the people I work with in restaurants for our wholesale business are interested in it. But mm-hmm. customers who are doing, you know, private events and stuff like that, it's really doing what I think everybody hoped it would do in terms of putting a stamp of approval on this profession as something, you know, in the realm of a sommelier or mm-hmm.
it formalizes it.
Yeah, and it that's been really fun. I think wave the flag, you know, the exam and tell everyone about it. So I'm very proud of that.
Great.
And I haven't done much with my badge that they sent me.
Oh, but. Okay. Okay. How about you, Amy?
I have not put it on my email signature yet, but yeah, I did post some pictures of the badge and the pin, and it's great. And I do talk about it when I'm helping customers, but mm-hmm. I agree with Elena, like run with it. I just haven't put it on my email signature yet.
I think it's really good for the industry to have a formalized test to give a seal of approval to certain people. Okay. Now, do you feel it will further your career? And how would you advise others?
I don't know what the next step in my career is, but I do think that it gives my current position a little more, you know, focus and weight in terms of job security and, you know, professional level And so, you know, it's hard in our growing industry to figure out, you know, how do you move up and where do you go next and what kind of experiences do you need and what kind of background should you have? And so I think this is kind of like, now I know, you know, I've been certified.
Right,
so that means something in our industry for everyone who pays attention to the American Cheese Society. And I think that is a good number of people in our industry. So I think it'll translate, you know, if I move to another city, I would, people would understand in this, in the cheese community what that
means.
And
I think they took such care on creating the test and making it so serious that they have helped further the reputation of the initials.
I agree.
Yeah, for me, I think also, I think it's exciting for people who work for me who are coming in to cheese maybe as their first cheese job or their second to think about, to see some trajectory. I mean, that's how I felt about it at first. And I think it's always good to kind of imagine your next few steps. And I hope at least that it inspires people who are just coming, you know, getting their foot in the door.
Okay, so let's move on to Thanksgiving plans. Now, both of you work at cheese shops with almost all American cheese, and it is an American holiday, Thanksgiving. So what are you recommending? If a customer comes up and says, I want to buy some cheese for Thanksgiving, what do you recommend? Amy, you want to go first?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, I say, good thing you're here. A cheese counter with all American artisan cheeses because it's an American holiday. But, you know, it's usually a mixed crowd on Thanksgiving, and you really have to know your crowd. For these people, you know, they want to impress and they want to share their favorite cheeses and delicious food with their friends and family. But, you know, their friends and family might not like the same cheeses they do. So I'm usually, when I advise people, I'm a little more cautious. You know, maybe don't take a washed rind this time, but definitely get a blue because people like to experiment with that. I love really savory cheeses for Thanksgiving. So, you know, Landaff and the Bent River Camembert and always Cabot Cloth Bound Cheddar. But we just
you don't have to say that.
We just got the Asher Blue from Sweetgrass Dairy.
That's on my list. I knew we'd have an overlap.
Okay.
How about you, Elena?
Well, one cheese that we're especially excited about at Beecher's, and also, again, we have an all-American cheese case of about 75 different cheeses from all over the country, which we get really psyched about, including the cheeses that we make at Beecher's, which is our sort of unique spin on an all-American cheese shop. One cheese that we've just released. It landed in my store on Wednesday of last week. It's called Yule Casa, which means Christmas cheese. And it is actually a variation of our original flagship cheese, aged. We have Flagship Reserve, which is aged in a cloth-bound, similar to Cabot cloth-bound cheddar, actually. And basically, with Yule Casa, it is then, after about 13 months of aging, it's soaked in red wine and honey.
Oh, my.
So it's a fun cheese. It's a, you know, it's crossed between a cheddar and a Gruyere.
What does it look like?
It has a reddish rind.
Okay.
It looks like, you know, a cheese for the holidays.
Hmm.
And it's delicious. I actually think it's amazing at the end of the Thanksgiving meal with an apple pie. You know, if you're having apple pie, a little wedge of our Yule Casa is kind of an awesome pairing. So that's a big one that we're excited about at Beecher's. And then I tend to steer people kind of away from soft cheeses for Thanksgiving because I think that they usually go hand in hand with bread. And as we know, bread fills you up and, you know,
that
people
was
can
my question.
Kind
yeah.
of slather them on. So I tend to suggest harder cheeses that you can just have on their own and not get too filled up.
Well, that's the question. Do you eat cheese before the meal on Thanksgiving and risk filling up? Or do you serve it before dessert, European style? What would you recommend?
I'd say both. I'd say it's a day of grazing. Just put it all out there and let people pick when they eat it, you know? I think people might taste one or two cheeses before dinner, but then it's still there afterwards, and they might put it on their dessert plate as well. It's great.
That's a good suggestion.
I think for a good thing to remember is about pacing with Thanksgiving. If you're hanging around,
it's good to remember, but it's not always easy to
right.
do.
That's very true. And one thing that I think can get away from people is that if they're hanging around before the meal begins and they're not snacking on something, but they do have that glass of champagne or wine, then you can get a little ahead of yourself in terms of what kind of alcohol you're consuming. So I think cheese is a nice thing to nibble on.
Oh, to sort
of
control the drunkenness.
Give yourself something in your stomach. since you probably haven't eaten much all day, and not feel too full also, mm-hmm. you know, a few nibbles of a harder cheese can mm-hmm. can tide you over.
That's true. Do you find much of a request for cooking with cheese for Thanksgiving?
Oh, yes. Okay. People are coming to the counter with their recipes.
Oh, mm-hmm. and what are they yeah. asking for?
You know, I need this kind of cheese to grade in my salad that I'm making, and what I love is... Well, I've done the Cabot cloth bound cheddar in a kale salad. Mm-hmm. And then also, I mean, if you're going to do roasted Brussels sprouts, just about any cheese could go mm-hmm, amazing right. on top of that.
Mm-hmm. True.
How about you? Have you found a request for cooking with cheese?
Yeah, sort of a similar thing. A lot of people have been requesting fresh cheeses to mix in with whatever they're cooking or to put on a salad. And in that case, I usually steer people toward... Karen's Ruby Blanche at Three Corner Field Farm, which is a fresh sheep's milk mm-hmm. cheese, which is a little different from what, you know, if people have a Chev in mind, I like to say, well, try sort of that fresh sheep's milk version of that mm-hmm. And try
mix
something
it up
new.
A little.
Yeah. So that's one thing. And then people are always looking for cheddar. I think, again, we're lucky at Beecher's to have an in-house cheddar that we're really proud of and excited about with our original flagship. And that one kind of goes a long way toward going in your pie crust or, you know, melting.
Or yeah. next to your pie.
Or next to your pie mm-hmm. or melting in whatever it is you're making. So that's a great go-to for us.
Mm-hmm. Any other recommendations for Thanksgiving?
Well, there's always those cheeses that are the wow cheeses. We've got Rush Creek Reserve. We've got Harbison. Mm-hmm. We've got the Ledyard from Meadowood Farms. Mm. So 2 weeks ago, Veronica Pedranza was on the radio. She's making sheep's milk cheese upstate New York in Cazenovia. Elena and I were lucky to take a road trip together
See
the cheese production.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So, I mean, it's like a Robiola style, wrapped in grape leaves, luscious, creamy sheep cheese.
So that would be more of a fancy cheese to start the day?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it kind of presents itself. It's very festive right. with a little ribbon and the leaves.
It's so. Very beautiful to just mm-hmm. have on the plate during mm-hmm. the meal. Mm. And I also think right now at Beecher's, we have Pleasant Ridge Extra Reserve, which I'm
Ooh.
Very excited about.
Well, we have Tarente's 2 years.
Oh, well, there you go. So we could each offer people protein crystals to give them that toothsome, you know, sought-after texture. We're very excited about the Pleasant Ridge Extra Reserve. Mm-hmm. That's kind of an American treat
right.
in terms of
an American classic.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much. I think that wraps it up for this week. I want to thank Joe, my engineer, Joe Galarraga, for his help. And next week, I'll be interviewing cheesemonger artists, people combining a cheese career with an either old or new artistic pursuit. This is Diane Stempel on Cutting the Curd. You can find us on heritageradionetwork.org, archived, where you can get us in a podcast or iTunes, on iTunes or Stitcher. Thank you very much.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanks, Thanksgiving.
Diane. Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.